Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. This morning we want to hear from God about His Son, the Lord Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 20 to 26. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Now here in this passage from John's Gospel, we find our Lord Jesus in the final week of his life before he went to death on Calvary. And here we're reminded that there was much confusion surrounding Jesus concerning for the purpose of his coming into this world. The week had begun by his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Crowds had surrounded him, proclaiming to be Israel's promised Messiah. There was great expectation of what he might do to throw off the Roman oppression. And so Jesus is at pains to make known to his disciples the purpose of his coming. And it was simply this: he had come to die. The path to the crown was through the cross. Death was the great necessity right before him as he would accomplish God's plan of salvation. And in order to impress this on the minds of his disciples, Jesus took a simple principle from their farming community. And the principle is this: death is the path to fruitfulness. Death is the path to fruitfulness. Look again at verse 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, Jesus is articulating a principle of truth, and he wants them to pay attention to it. He calls them to pay attention to it. "Truly, truly," or the old King James, "verily, verily," pay attention to this statement of truth I'm about to give you. We find Jesus here borrowing a common principle from agriculture. And the simple truth that Jesus speaks of here is true whether you're a farmer with hundreds of acres or just a simple backyard gardener. If you have a seed, one seed, and you leave it in a jar or in its packet, it will remain alone. It will produce nothing. But if you take that same seed and you plant it in the ground and add some water and sunshine, it's going to first die. It will rot in the ground. But out of that death will come a little shoot. And then as it grows into a mature plant, it will produce many, many, many seeds. And the rate of effectiveness is actually quite startling. You might think of a plant of corn. You put one seed of corn into the ground, and up comes a little plant, and then by the end of the summer, you've got a tall plant, and a plant of corn can produce up to 4 cobs of corn. Now, a cob of corn produces about 800 pieces or kernels or seeds of corn. So out of that one little seed of corn, there's the possibility of producing 3,200 kernels of corn. Therefore, the way for a seed to be fruitful is first, it must die. And only then can it produce new life, a new plant, and many more seeds. Now, Jesus takes this common, ordinary farming principle and uses it to illustrate the necessity of his death. On the previous day, crowds had been thronging around him as he rode the donkey into Jerusalem. And the disciples had been caught up in this nationalistic spirit of the Jews. They were ready to make him king, a political Messiah to overthrow Rome. And Jesus announced that the hour for his glorification had arrived. And that very language would seem to fuel their expectations. And lest any think that this meant his assumption of an earthly throne, Jesus used this agricultural principle to show how he was going to be glorified. For him, the path to glory and to triumph as the Messiah was not in the use of armies and thrones and political power. Rather, it was a path that led to death. He was like that seed. Only through death could he give life to many. Now we know that the disciples previously had been offended by any mention of his death. They had verbally opposed it. We remember Peter's objection, "Lord, this shall never happen to you." They couldn't comprehend how the Messiah could further his kingdom by dying. Would that not simply spell the end to something that had been glorious? But it was as foolish to oppose the death of Jesus as to keep a seed closed up in its package. Just as the seed would die in the ground and spring up to new life, producing many seeds, so Christ's death would be like the seed bed out of which new life would spring up for the world. The very way in which Jesus worded this principle placed the emphasis upon necessity and efficacy. The seed had to die. Jesus had to die. This was the plan of God for the accomplishment of salvation. But if the seed died, it would bring forth much fruit. If Jesus died, there would be great spiritual success. People would be won for God. Sinners in Israel would be brought to God. Sinners from the Gentile nations would be delivered from their guilt and penalty of their sins and reconciled to God. Now, the immediate prospects for Jesus did not look good. Suffering and death didn't seem to hold out much hope for the future. A Roman cross marked by agony and shame and blood didn't seem to speak of success. But contrary to human thinking, God was planning great things to result from Jesus' death. The plans of God were not small. Much fruit spoke of a redeemed multitude from all the nations of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles, gathered into God's household because of Jesus' death. Now, Jesus used this agricultural principle to reveal to his listeners Death is the path to spiritual fruitfulness. And just think of how this principle has impacted your life. This morning, as we sit here, a gathered congregation of God's people, why do you have spiritual life and you're not still living in the deadness of your sins? Why have your sins been forgiven and your record washed clean? Why are you reconciled to God? So that you can sit here this morning and you know God is not your enemy, His wrath is not against you, but God is your friend. God is your Father in heaven who has committed Himself to you for eternity. Why is that true? Why do you have the prospect of an eternal inheritance in heaven? It's because almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. And your life has been impacted as a result. And because He died, you now have life, eternal life. And one day, when you stand before the throne of God and you look all around you and you see that multitude that no man can number, you will recognize that death was the path to spiritual prosperity for our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come over and over again to this meal. And take up these symbols that portray to us the death of our Lord Jesus. That one seed being planted into the ground, and because of its death, there is spiritual life for many. Well, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we know that we could never come up with a saving plan like You did. We thank You that even before this world was made, You had ordained this plan. And the Lord Jesus was appointed and entered into a covenant with You that He would come and give His life a ransom for many. Thank You for its accomplishment. Thank You that when our Lord Jesus came into the world, He refused the temptations of Satan or the encouragements of His disciples to take up some other path. Thank You that when the gruesomeness of the cross was presented to Him, He was willing to submit and say, "Not my will, but Your will be done." We thank You for the death of the Lord Jesus. And we thank You that it was not in vain. We thank You, our God, for the great spiritual effectiveness that has been realized as a result. Thank You that we sit here today as Your children, experiencing new life in Christ because of His death. Help us, our God, to respond to this wonderful gospel reality with faith, with thanksgiving, with love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, our God, by Your Spirit, to truly worship our Savior today. And as we take up these elements that are before us, may it be a bold proclamation that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is ours. Our Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.